Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is David Taylor, who is the founder and CEO of David Taylor Design. Today, we're going to be discussing David's journey as an entrepreneur and how he's grown David Taylor Design. So thank you so much for joining us today, David.
Thanks for having me.
So to get started, I'd love to hear how you got into digital marketing.
So I got into digital marketing starting out as a graphic designer. I went to school for graphic design a long time ago. My father owned a design agency doing mostly print design for museums and doing catalogs and things like that. My dad was like a Mad Men style guy. Before he had his own business, he worked in New York at J. Walter Thompson and other sort of big advertising agencies. He was directing TV commercials and stuff. So I always had that
so cool
artsy background with my folks. My mom owned a business herself too, doing interior design.
Okay.
But I went to school for graphic design at George Washington University. And the real reason, honestly, and I just said this to someone the other day, the real reason that I got into graphic design was because I wanted to take my head in Photoshop and put it on other people's bodies. And that's like legitimately the reason that I got into graphic design and like tinkering around with images and making things. And I still do that today all the time with my team. Like I'll just cut someone's head off of something and put them on someone and then put it into our Slack channel and like get a laugh and like that. But that's why I started it.
That's so funny.
And it grew from there. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. It's so cool. I love hearing about people that actually went to school and are doing what they went to school for originally, because it's honestly, it's pretty rare. Most of the people I talk to in digital marketing kind of just fell into it, and it's not something they traditionally were educated in. So
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So why did you decide to start David Taylor Design?
So I had a career for years, like, you know, a couple years at this job, a couple years at that job. I ended up in San Francisco. I'm from New Jersey. I drove across the country after college with a buddy of mine. And then, you know, for 6 months and ran out of money in San Francisco and ended up living there for 10 years. I got a job at like a copy shop at that time, sort of right after college, and was like managing the computers, and they stayed there for a year. And then I went over, I kept elevating my role and getting different design jobs with more responsibilities at bigger companies. Ended up working in Silicon Valley as a graphic designer and managing, the infrastructure of the office computers at a company that had about 40 people. And then also sort of having a dual role as an art director. So I always had this dual role in sort of technology and creative and into design. I ended up moving back to New Jersey and got a job as senior designer at Disney Publishing in New York City. And wow. I worked there for a couple of years. And that was a really terrific role. They kind of made a unique role for me because the president needed someone to make presentations for the Disney sales pitch, the pitches that they did internally to different Disney corporations. And I was that guy. I kind of found her through her husband, who I knew from doing some design work on Craigslist, if you can believe that. But yeah. So a long time ago, like there was a different era, and I was like just trying to find jobs when I first moved back to the East Coast.
Yeah.
Met her husband because he had a separate business. And then he was like, oh, that David Taylor has some skills. I think that you should meet my wife. She happens to be the president of Disney Publishing. And I was like, okay. So then she walked downstairs, and next day I had an interview with her. And I went in and I got the job, and I worked like really mostly directly for her and the executive team making these presentations. Then here's now the part that I started David Taylor Design. Then she left the company and a new president came in and they laid off 20% of the workforce and downsized. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm out of a job. So what do I do? And I had, I had a 2-year-old and like a 3-month-old baby at the time.
Yeah.
And then I was out of work and I decided, should I get another job or do I want to start my own business? And after speaking with a couple of very close friends that encouraged me, I decided to start my own business. And at that time, it was legitimately me doing everything, right?
Right.
So I would find the job, I would do the design, I would write the code if it was a website, I would bill the client, and then I would try and find another client. And that is what I did for a couple of years before it became too overwhelming, because I'm not good at all of those things. I can do them. I'm particularly bad at managing the finances. And so invoicing was a problem for me and keeping track of the money was not my thing. But I was capable of doing them all, except for that, like some of the things like writing code, like I used to be able to, I can't anymore. I used to be able to code websites in HTML and do that before like WordPress and other web development tools came into play really. And then that was the first thing I gave up, right? That I finally found someone who I could do the graphic design. I could make the design for the website, for instance, and then I would pass off the development to somebody else. And then I kind of built from there, right? So I started to use that person for years. So, you know, like probably, I'm going to say probably the first 5 years was me mostly, and then one other person, and maybe my wife was helping me with invoicing. And my wife is my business partner now too. I should make that known. Tanya manages all of our finances, and she's good at that.
Awesome. Nice. Perfect. And then, so in those early days, how did you get those first few clients?
Relationships, certainly. Interestingly and fortunately, Disney hired me back as a consultant. So I did some terrific work for Disney early on, which always adds credibility to your portfolio, you know, when you have a big client like that.
Definitely.
But then through those word of mouth relationships, through Disney relationships and the people that I work with, and they kind of knew my skill set. And I would say I didn't do any sales hunting or anything like that. It was legitimately all referrals, networking events. I joined like at that time, the Chamber of Commerce, things like that, just to sort of be out there, which I was not comfortable with at the time, honestly. But I did hire a business coach who was sort of like, it's interesting, I forgot about this until just now. Her name is Cheryl Spangler, and I still credit her. She was all the way in Seattle, and I was in New Jersey. Someone that I knew connected us, and she's a life coach and business coach, and that's exactly what I needed at that time. Because I wasn't quite sure the direction that I wanted to go in, and she was really terrific for me at that stage. And I worked with her for a year, and she was like, you can't do all of these things yourself. You need to find, I hated sales at the time. I didn't want to do selling. I always thought of a salesperson as like a used car salesman who's like trying to get you in the door, you know, and get, what's it going to take for me to get you in this car today?
Yeah.
I always had that in my mind is what a salesperson was. And she was like, you have to do the sales or find someone else to do the sales. And I couldn't afford to have someone else do the sales, so I had to start going out and networking. I love doing that stuff, and I'm like the chief of doing the sales, right? That's most of my role is relationship building and selling these days.
Right.
So I'm full circle on that, or really, you know, 180 on that actually. So.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to learn more about what your sales process looks like today and how that's evolved.
So it has evolved a lot. Let's think. So there's me and another person who, actually two, there's three of us on the sales team now in my company. So we get on, well, I guess I should start a little further back. We are farming mostly right now, and meaning we are doing inbound sales for David Taylor Design. Most of our clients find us thanks to our search engine optimization efforts, and building, and we're doing pay-per-click, and we're doing search engine organic search, and we do some social media advertising. So our clients are calling us.
Got
We
it.
are in the process right now of actually of adding on outbound sales to this. So we are putting together a sales playbook, and we're in the middle of doing that right now. It hasn't fully launched yet, but for the past 15 years, I suppose you could say that most of our clients have, beyond the referrals, have found us. And our biggest clients, frankly, in the past 5 years have found us, which feels terrific.
That's
But then,
amazing.
but that's just the beginning of the sales process. So, let's just say someone does come to our website and they fill out a form or call us up, then we schedule a meeting with them. We sometimes, depending on how they come in, we might have someone do a little bit of a pre-sales phone call with them to kind of get them over some gates. Are we a good fit? Do we feel like we can work together? Can they, is there a sort of a minimum entry price that they are aware of? And then if they sort of get over those gates, then we'll get on a phone call with them, typically with me and the other two salespeople at this stage. And what usually happens is maybe there's a person that isn't the decision maker who's just sort of doing fact-finding missions for their owner of the company or the marketing department. So then we got to get through that phone call. And then if that all goes well, then we get on a phone call with the decision maker. We try not to do a proposal until we get the decision maker on the phone or on the Zoom. Because without their input, we're sort of guessing, and we need them to know us so that we have a leg up over whoever else they're speaking with. After we speak with them, then we'll finally put a proposal together, and we'll get back on another Zoom call to share that proposal with them and make sure that they understand it. And then finally, we'll send them the proposal for them to review and hopefully sign off electronically after the call.
Very cool. So with your years in business, have you noticed when you're putting together a proposal, have you come across any tips that have worked really well for creating a really effective proposal?
Yes, absolutely. It's a tool. We use a software called Proposify, which is a proposal tool. You're familiar with it? It's a so that we probably added that into our tech stack maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and it's been super great for templating our proposals because, we have a whole suite of services, but we don't need to rewrite what the content is for each of those every time we have a new client, right? We just need to plug in the specific details about that, whatever it is, if it's a website design or if it's search engine optimization. We have a sort of a what they call a snippet of content that you just click a button and boom, it fills in the proposal, and then we adjust it. That saves a ton of time. And
Absolutely.
before we had that tool, I was writing all of our proposals in Word, and I would cut and paste content from different proposals, and it was such a pain
It's
to
so
do it that way.
time-consuming.
And it was like my head was exploding. Like I hated doing it. It was such a drag. And then finally, our production manager was like, "We need a tool," and she found it. And then we built these templates out. And it's like working in like a design program. You can really sort of drag and drop images, and it's very helpful. And it has streamlined our process so that putting a proposal together is something that we do as soon as we know the details. We hang up the phone with the client. And the team jumps back on, and we make the proposal right away while it's fresh in our minds, and we
Got
can
it.
get the proposal done like in 30 minutes, whereas it used to take me, 2 hours of total time, but I couldn't do it for more than 10 minutes, and I would come back to it tomorrow and forget what I was doing, and it was, it was bad. The other way was just not efficient, and so we do it as soon as we get off the call with the Proposify tool, and it really streamlines the process.
Very cool. And then, do you have any tips for overcoming if you have any potential clients who are dragging their feet, that you are wanting to, do business with?
On the, like, after we send them a proposal, you mean?
Exactly, yes.
So we do, one thing that we have incorporated that has been very effective is we won't hang up the call where we share the proposal with them without setting up a cadence meeting.
Oh, I
Meaning,
like that.
so, yeah, so we'll say, okay, here's the proposal. We're going to send it to you right now. Before we get off the call, we'd like to know when can we set up another call, because you'll have had to review this with the rest of your team, and when might you have a decision either way? And they'll usually say, oh, well, maybe we need about a week. And we'll say, all right, can we look at our calendars and set a date for a week from today? Just jump back on a call, and maybe you've made your decision before then, and that's okay, and you can let us know. Or maybe you have more questions, and at that meeting we can answer more questions. So it's sort of like driving a stake in the ground that they're going to do something to communicate with us either way
Yeah,
by this date, and
I love
that
that.
keeps a good cadence. And sometimes they call before and they say, we don't, we went with someone else. Or sometimes they call and they say, we've already made a decision, and you guys were about to sign right now. So then that meeting's not even important. It's just the idea that there's a date that something has to be done by that has been helpful.
Interesting. And do you guys do use a foot in the door strategy of any sort?
How do you mean?
Well, some agencies, when they are wanting to sort of build that initial trust with a potential client, they'll offer a lower service client or a lower cost service to that customer. Do you guys do anything like that at all?
We have been doing that more recently. Interestingly, sometimes we get happy ears and a client says they want all these things. They are like, oh, we need a new website and we want to drive traffic and search engine optimization. And they don't know what they're talking about necessarily. They just know something's wrong and they need help. And
Right.
then my team is like, oh, they're saying they want all these things. And it starts to be a pretty big proposal. And they might not be ready for that total cost. And there's been times when we've made mistakes in the sales process, and we go too big, and the client is not ready for something that large. And so we're doing a better job recently of trying to sort of take a pulse on what the expected investment might be early on, and then start small with something that some people call a monkey's paw or a monkey's fist. Have you heard that term before?
No, I haven't.
So, if you were to bring a giant boat into the shore, like a cruise ship, someone throws a line off the boat, and then someone has to catch that rope and pull the boat ashore. But you can't throw one of those giant cruise ship ropes because it's too big. So what
Yeah.
they do is they tie a very small rope to the big rope, and they tie a knot on the end, and they throw this small rope with the knot on the end, and the knot is the monkey's paw, the monkey's fist. So you
Got it.
start with something small, and then you sort of pull the boat in. That's the idea behind the concept. And so it does build trust when you do that, because if we tackle a small project early on and we crush it for the client, and then maybe we work together for two or 3 weeks or a month, and they're starting to see the results, and they start to see how we operate as a team. And we're a very high touch organization. We set up cadence meetings weekly with our clients, a lot of reasons to touch base, and we are very diligent about that. So now we've built trust, and they are more likely to work with us on other bigger projects. And so that's something that we've been doing more recently that has been successful.
Very cool. And then, so what services have you found work really well as that monkey's paw service that you offer?
So an SEO tune-up or a keyword research analysis is something that can be
Okay.
very effective, because it's the foundation of our search engine optimization efforts, is keywords and phrases that someone might be typing into Google when they're looking for one of our clients. And
Yeah.
understanding those keywords and phrases, and then tuning them up onto the website. So we call it an SEO tune-up. It's keyword research and analysis, and then we build in 5 hours of structured time or 20 pages on their website that we optimize the website. And so it's like they get a work product, they get the actual keyword research and analysis Excel spreadsheet that we create for them, mm-hmm. and then they get their website tuned up, and we can show before and after like what the health was on their website because we made these modifications thanks to the tools that we use, and we can tell them how many more keywords that they're ranking for. So it's, you know, it shows progress, and then they feel a little bit more comfortable working with us.
Awesome. Very cool. That's super interesting. So I'd love to talk about your team a little bit. So what are some ways that you really work with your team and encourage them to be growing and evolving as professionals?
So let's see, we have a pretty rigorous training for our onboarding new people. And we grow the team by shadowing. Like, so if we bring someone new on, we need them to learn our process and get up to speed on how we operate, because we have a very specific process.
Right.
The growth piece comes beyond that. Like, we offer, like, they're learning our skills and how we operate, but we want them to grow as people too. Mm-hmm. And so we offer training classes that we would help pay for if they're interested, as long as it's something related to their job. Mm-hmm. They can take online courses. I mean, certainly through the pandemic, it's been all online. But previously, sometimes people would go into different classes at however they want to take them, whether it's in design or other tools. But we're been doing a lot of online learning with the team, and that has been good. I think people like that. What else have we done? That's pretty much it. It's like we want to build a culture, and we want people to be growing and excelling. And if there's something that they can, if there's a course that they can take that makes them feel better about working here, they're learning, they're growing, and then it also can help them grow from one role to the next role at David Taylor Design, then I absolutely want that. I want people to be happy. I want people to be learning. It's mostly been online learning lately.
Okay, very cool. Do they do any sort of goal setting or anything like that within your agency?
Yes, we do. So we have implemented a system in the past year called the Entrepreneurs Operating System.
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
You're familiar with it? So that's from EO, Entrepreneurs Organization, that I'm a member of. And that Entrepreneurs Operating System was born out of the EO, or Entrepreneur Organization's experience. A guy that was a member of EO built this system and turned it into a business, and then he has rolled it out, and we have incorporated that. And
awesome.
It really is terrific. The thing that it does is it sets up accountability each quarter, mm-hmm. for every employee. So they have goals set at the beginning of the quarter for next quarter, and we check in weekly to see if those goals are on track or off track. And as we go through the weeks of the quarter, we work with them, and they might not be the one that has to do every aspect of whatever that goal is, but they're responsible for making sure it gets done. Mm-hmm. And just by having it down and something that we check on each week, it really helps people achieve those goals.
I know, it's incredible. We've implemented it as well within Review Robin, and it's just incredible just having that scorecard that you review every week, and just working towards those rocks, those goals that you have. It's I think it's an incredible productivity booster. It's something that we absolutely love it.
You know what else I do at the beginning of the year is I personally set goals for myself and my family and my business in December, and I always remind my team that it's something that they should be doing. And for instance, I have like a reminder in my calendar to review my own goals at least once a month. And I just go back and read them. And just by writing them down and looking at them at least once a month makes you so much more likely to do it. And I've been encouraging my team to do that too. So whenever I look at my own goals, I shoot an email out to them and say, hey, don't forget to check your goals. And it really makes a huge difference. Because if you know what you want, and you write it down, it's a lot easier to achieve than not knowing. Like, you need to know what the end is in order to know when you've arrived.
Exactly. So
So that's why just writing it down is so important. I really believe that.
Writing it down. And I love that you put it in your calendar and set those reminders, because yeah, it's one of those things you can write it down and then you can forget about it. So ensuring that you're looking at that regularly is so important. And yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why EOS is so effective, is because it really gets you to work backwards. You know, like you set that 5-year plan, that 1-year plan, and then you set, you break it down into quarters. And it's such a process that simplifies the whole process of goal setting, essentially.
Indeed, agreed.
Awesome. So do you have any other tips for boosting productivity within your team?
Productivity. Well, we use, this is not, well, I'm productive, but process is not my thing. And the productivity of the team is based on our production manager. And she has set up and implemented Asana as a project management tool.
Very good.
And that was a game changer for us. She implemented that maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And thank God that she was capable of doing that, because that I couldn't, that's not how I think, but it has made the team more productive. And so when we turn on let's just say we get a brand new client, she basically can go into Asana and turn on the project, and it has all of the sort of step-by-step things that need to happen throughout the life cycle of that particular project. Mm. And so it's not magic, right? But if an account manager goes and follows these steps one by one, they have to, like I said, it's not magic. They still have to think and act. But as long as they're following those steps and making sure those tasks get checked off, it keeps them a lot more productive. And they like it. Everybody wants to know like what the next step is, and it's just easier to follow that way. So I'm really grateful that we have that set up, because it does work.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Yes, we use Asana as well. And yeah, it's a great tool.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Are there any other kinds of software that you would recommend that have been really helpful in your day-to-day operations?
So the big software for us is the EOS operating system, the Entrepreneurs Operating System. That was implemented about 6 months ago to the leadership team, and then we rolled it out about 3 months ago to the rest of the team.
Okay.
And that changed everything, I think, for us, because it allowed us to spend the time focusing on developing the business as opposed to working with clients. So, you know, you hear people say working on the business rather than in the business oftentimes. Mm-hmm. And that is the best example of that. The Entrepreneur Operating System, having the cadence meetings each week, what they call the level 10 meetings each week.
Yeah.
And this online software that helps facilitate that, which we are constantly in as a team now. That's the thing that helps drive and scale the business, points out what problems we have and how we can address them. Mm-hmm. That is the biggest game changer from a software perspective that we've had in, you know, since we set up Asana, I would say.
Very cool. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but is there anything else that you'd like to add that you feel would be helpful to any agency owners who are listening?
Let's see. What can I add? I think that one thing that I've learned is that staying with it and not ditching your business and sticking with it will the longer you stay in it, the better it will get. And if you can get over the hump of the early years, and it's frenetic, like especially when you're doing everything and you don't know whether you're going to succeed, as long as you continue to get by and grow a little every year, there will come a time when then it suddenly becomes the responsibilities, the stakes get higher, but maybe your responsibilities on the day-to-day stuff lessen because you have a team, and that is a good thing that happens. And so I guess what I'm saying is, well, what can I share is stay with it, because it will get better and easier, and you can become, you know, a leader as opposed to a doer. And that has been an interesting journey for me, right? Because I was very tactical in the early years, and I had to train myself and take classes and be coached, very coachable, to learn to become a leader of the team. And I like that process. I like, now my job is not so much doing design work or any development work. It's really helping the team see their potential and coaching them to be better at their own jobs. And that comes with time. And I have a lot to learn. Believe me, I am no expert, but it's been a great journey. And the longer you stick with it, the better it gets.
I love that. And where do you see David Taylor Designs in 5 years' time?
I see us being probably having another 10 employees would be my guess. I don't think I want to cap out maybe at 30 people is where maybe I want to end up at. Mm-hmm. I see us being totally retainer based. We still take on some project work, but we're trying to be focused on bigger, larger retainer clients mm-hmm. in manufacturing space. And that's where we excel. And that's where our expertise lies. And I want to sort of really put our efforts on specialization of a particular client type. And for us, it's going to be, it is manufacturing. And I can imagine that over time, some of those clients that don't fit our ideal client model will kind of disappear and we become more efficient, more specialized, and better at what we, even better at what we do then.
Awesome. Very exciting. Well, now we're going to move on to the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions. Okay. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I think early in my career, the book that had the biggest impact on me was E-Myth, which is, have you heard of that one? Very great book.
And it's a good one.
And then I would say more recently, Traction, which is about the entrepreneur operating system. So those are one early stage and one sort of middle stage.
Very nice. Yes, I've read both of them and they're both great books.
Yep.
And what does your morning routine look like?
So I wake up probably around 6:30. I'll get some coffee and sit on the front porch and look at email on my phone. And then I check my calendar for the day to see what kind of meetings I have set up. Then I'll exercise in the morning. After that, meditate for about 20 minutes. And then I'm at my desk by 9:00.
Very nice. And how has, I'm always curious to know what benefits you've seen since you started meditating regularly.
Oh, so many benefits. The meditation that I follow is Silva practice. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah. I've recently started doing it and it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. It's terrific. And then the 6-phase meditation practice, which sort of built out of the Silva method, mm-hmm. Which is about a 20-minute meditation, and that is about like manifesting the things that you want, and in your mind, imagining that you already have the things that you want, and mm-hmm. set up in the way that you want them, and that sort of attracts those things to you, and makes it easier for you to achieve those things over time. So that meditation practice has been really great for me.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. I know I just go on YouTube and I do the Silva meditations and, it's a good mix of having you do the, visualization practice and then also just giving you that time to just actually meditate and just like quiet your mind. So, I feel it puts me in a really good state of mind for the day and I'm really enjoying it.
Nice. That's great.
And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I don't have a particular CEO that I follow or study. I think that I get most of my learning from my EO group, my Entrepreneurs Organization Forum, which mm-hmm. there are eight of us in our forum and we meet monthly and we learn from each other. It's a very deep dive into each other's businesses and personal lives and how much your personal life affects your business. And so we really, and it's all 100% confidential within that group. And that is where I'm learning from them. And they're all different types of CEOs. So, you know, some of them are attorneys, some of them are real estate people, you know, some of them are consultants, but I learned so much and get so much value from their experience.
That's great. Awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
So the favorite online tool I already mentioned, that's the Entrepreneur Operating System that we have implemented about 6 months ago. And so it's the EOS Traction, which is a software platform.
Okay, perfect. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think I wish I had known, well, like I like doing design work. Like I like doing design. That's why I got into doing this business, right? I like to do the design work and I don't do that anymore. I miss that as an owner, but you know, because I no longer get to do those things. But I have grown into doing other things that are sort of around design, and I still act as creative director and get my hands in the creative, but not like I used to. I'm not moving pixels around the page anymore, except for taking people's heads and putting them on other people's heads.
Yeah.
I am building something, and so I like that part of it. So I guess I didn't realize how far away from the actual tactical work I would have gotten when I started the business as to where I am now 15 years later. My
yes.
roles have changed so dramatically over time from what I used to do to what I do today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would have been nice to have known at the time.
Yeah, that's a really great point you bring up. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, David. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed being here. Have a nice day.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.